So we invite you to enter into a practice or movement of interior silence that leads to contemplative prayer in the Christian tradition. Main thing we bring to this practice is the desire or the will to come closer to God, to know the one true God and Jesus Christ, whom the Father has sent. So we're looking at a way of accessing a presence that is already within us as our source and sustainer. Creation is not a one-time event, but a continuous movement that is comprehensive, loving, and which is calling us to ever deeper participation and penetration of the divine mystery, the ultimate source of all that is. And since another way of representing that presence is silence, and the idea that everything emerges from silence, including ourselves, and returns to it, this silence of God is not just sheer emptiness, but is an emptiness that is on the verge of becoming everything. Perhaps more exactly, is everything, but at the same time is nothing in the sense that it's every possibility waiting to be realized. And that realization or activization is what we mean by the sun, the first procession in the Trinitarian life. So we're invited to return to our source, not in order to rest there eternally, maybe that's for the next life, but in order to be able to manifest, perhaps in the most active ways imaginable, the full energy and power and love and life of the Trinity, as it comes from emptiness into fullness, from all possibilities into the actualization of all possibilities, of which we happen to be just one. And so this is not an exercise of sheer meditation or a self-help project, all of which are useful in their own spheres. This is an encounter, at least as we understand it, with sheer reality, reality beyond anything we know as reality, a reality that is even uncreated and unmanifested, but which is accessible because of its great goodness and love and desire to share the maximum amount of divine life that we can possibly receive. And so, since this life is within us, there's no place to go to find it. There is a movement from our ordinary psychological awareness to the spiritual level of our being, because that's the level that is accessible or that turns towards the divine presence at the deepest level. From our perspective, Christ is the center of the soul, and it's to this center that we feel drawn with the irresistible, fascinating force of the mystery that is so tremendous there is no word to describe it. So in moving into that interior space, the proper attitude to begin with is consent. Effort is not appropriate apart from just saying yes to what is and to allow reality to rise up within us and teach us what it is without words. So this is a movement not against, but beyond the other relationships that we may have with God. And so it's a movement from conversation or rational consciousness to communion and unitive consciousness. So it's more a question of the heart than of the mind, but the two are seem to be intended to go together. And part of this journey is to integrate these two capacities of human nature and of the brain, to be physiologically accurate, which is meant to give us a capacity to live the mystery and the ups and downs and the pains and aches and joys and sorrows of human life from the perspective of this interior source. And thus, in our own persons, become a transmission of the divine goodness and life, and to make God's presence transparent in our attitudes, behavior, but most importantly, in our inmost being, where we're prepared to be just what God made us to be and have no great desire to be anything else. So this is a entering into God's emptiness. Perhaps this is what most characterizes centering prayer. It begins with kenosis, a Greek word for emptying, that describes how the Trinitarian persons totally give themselves away to each other in an infinite kenosis in which they live in each other rather than in themselves. And so we're invited to let go of all our possessive attitudes and to allow the divine attitudes of humility, of selflessness, of letting go, in our case, of the separate self sense, and even of our idea of ourselves, not only the idealized image of the ego, but any attachment to a self-identity at all. So it's a radical orientation to the divine dispositions. So let us move into that space by letting go of our immediate environment that preoccupies us on the ordinary psychological level of awareness, and move to the intuitive level where our spiritual will is operating. The spiritual will is the mouth of the soul. That is to say, it needs to be open at 360 degrees to the divine environment that surrounds us, the divine milieu, as Teilhard de Chardin called it, which, with the greatest respect for our freedom and our human condition and the vicissitudes of the human adventure, protects us, sustains us, and surrounds us with this infinite compassion that knows no bounds. So it's into that unconditional love that we allow ourselves to sink or to move or to melt. All these words are suggestions of different levels of self-surrender. And in this case, we're invited to do nothing except to be during this time as a way of deepening primarily our intimacy with God, but also as a discipline to undermine the very real obstacles in us to accepting the divine presence just as it is, and of letting go of our pre-packaged values and our preconditioned expectations of life, and allow God to be God in us. So to express our letting go of our immediate environment and our concerns and the whole psychological level of consciousness of everyday life, we close our eyes, and I invite you now to slowly close them as a way of letting go of present circumstances, both within and without. And this is the movement that Jesus calls the inner room. His formula for this practice is goes like this. If you want to pray, enter your inner room. This refers, as the desert fathers and mothers understood it in the fourth century, to mean the spiritual level of our being, the level of intuition and the spiritual will. And then we make the intention with that spiritual will to consent to God's presence, or if you use other phrases, to open to the divine presence, to surrender to that presence. And there will be a development of the acceptance of God within to the consent to God within, and then to the surrender of God within, and then the conviction of God within, and then the forgetfulness of self, and the sense of God's being all in all within us. So as I said, this is more than a meditation. This is a way of life, or more exactly, this is divine life living in us and teaching us to live human life in a divine way. So as we find ourselves in the inner room, we quickly discover that there are obstacles within us that challenge this movement into deeper levels of silence. And in general, we call them thoughts, because it contains, as a term in our terminology, every possible perception you can imagine. Memories, plans, concepts, images, acts of any kind, except the simple act of remaining with our intention and consent of the spiritual will in communion with the movement of acceptance of God's presence and action within us. The action of God is the healing presence and remedies that occur as we persevere in the regular practice twice daily of centering prayer for at least 20 to 30 minutes. So as thoughts come down the stream of consciousness, given the fact the imagination is a perpetual motion faculty, we need to just let them go by, uncensored, unedited, and especially without judgment as to their value or disvalue. They're just noise in the street, you might say, that you have to put up with if you have an apartment downtown. Or if you live beside railroad tracks, you can eventually concentrate and do your life even when the trains are going by. But you don't want to listen to them. And so it's this growing disposition of detachment from our thoughts, which is also a discipline that teaches us that we are not our feelings or our thoughts. We have them, of course, but we are not identified with them. And hence, we can exchange them or ignore them. And in this case, our response is simply to ignore them, let them come, let them go. And when they get the better of us and our curiosity or our attachment start getting involved, then we need a sacred symbol or gesture to renew the intention of our spiritual will. That is what we might call pure love. It's the love that is not out to get something, but to give something, namely our whole being, to the ultimate mystery. And more exactly in our Christian practice, to the mystery of Christ's humanity possessed by the divine word that is the very epitome of the emptiness process of letting go of everything in order to become everything, not for our own satisfaction, but because that happens to be the way things are. So as often as thoughts come, we simply ignore them. And if it was a help to us, we say silently, or even move silently towards the sacred symbol we've chosen. And this symbol could be one of three. The one we generally present first is that of a sacred word, because in the Christian tradition, the word of God is so significant. And so we're accustomed to listening, which is an attitude that well describes or delineates the disposition of openness to the divine presence. So silence is a way of listening at ever deepening levels. Exterior, interior, complete stillness, and then finally praying in secret, which is the forgetfulness of self. No self-reflection. So in this prayer, we leave behind any expectations, any goals, such as to experience peace or delight or love or calmness. This is not up to us, but rather to the grace of this healing prayer, which in the process of enabling us to let go of our attachments, frees the divine supernatural organism within us that we call grace and its various operations to begin to manifest the divine life in our particular uniqueness and lifestyle. So at the end of this time, we take a couple of minutes to return to our ordinary thoughts and also to avoid jarring our nervous system, which may be in quite a deep place even if we don't notice it, and thus facilitate, physiologically at least, the bringing into everyday life some of the peace that we experienced, hopefully, in the time of meditation. So I invite you to choose either a sacred word of one or two syllables, which could be a word for God if you have that attraction, but which can also be some other word that is not itself of significance, but its significance comes entirely from your choice of using it as a gesture of your intention. So if you are deeply united to God in the prayer and attracted to silence, there is nothing to do but consent and surrender. If you have thoughts and are not interested in them, and you know this assures you that there's nothing to do except to remain in this deep silence of no particular thoughts, even spiritual thoughts or concepts. This is an affirmation that all reality in some way is God. and that God is hidden in everything, even our thoughts and even in our faults. So nothing can separate us from this movement. And at the core of our goodness, as the image of God, is the divine indwelling in which all that we hope for and much more is already present, waiting to be realized. We just think we're separated from God. Drop that thought, and this practice will help us to do so. And our prayer, our meditation, and our life will begin to be a lot easier, and we can feel at home in every situation, even in the most difficult situations of pain and suffering, distress. So let us begin this surrender or this consent with this brief prayer. Holy Spirit of God, we adore you present in our inmost being. Draw us inwardly to that presence. Heal the wounds of a lifetime. Activate the great graces you have already given us for the healing of our human condition. And bring us into union and unity with the truth. Many persons have their own way of preparing themselves for this simple but profound prayer. Some are quite lengthy. Some like to do some yogic exercises. Others like to do a little quiet reading. So I'm going to suggest to you, if you need something sometimes to help you recollect yourself from a barrage of concerns and thoughts that especially happens in the second half of the day, then here is a brief and short way of concentrating for a few moments to bring together your scattered thoughts as far as depends on you. So this is a little method you might try with me this time as we enter into this period, and perhaps it will help you to let go of all your other thoughts. And it's a breathing exercise that goes like this. Your eyes are already closed, or close them, please. Your faith is turned towards the presence of God within, and your consent expresses your love as it matures into an attitude of self-surrender. But let your ordinary breathing in and out direct the energy of breathing to a place just below your nose and just above your lips, and maybe at the usual pace that you breathe, which of course differs with people, direct the energy of your intake towards that point without thinking of anything else. So it's not the receptive attitude of centering prayer yet, but it's a concentrative way of collecting, as far as possible, your wandering thoughts and your sometimes perhaps aggravating emotions. So let us do that for 5 or 6 times. And then I'll invite you to move on to another point. Now direct your breath and its energy to a point behind your eyes, about 4 inches or so, towards the center of the brain. And again, breathe directly there without thinking of anything else. Maybe 5 or 6 times. Now direct the energy towards a point about 2 inches above the navel, which is the solar plexus area. But don't name anything, think of anything, reflect anything. Just breathe into that place for 5 or 6 breaths. If at any time during those 3 breathing periods you feel attracted to silence, then immediately let the concentrative practice go and slip into or follow that attraction of silence.